This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Thoughts?
I was trying to think if there's something that was key in my childhood that... I'm just intrigued by this whole thing of Maris. We're talking to Maris.
And it's a very interesting one. And look, you've either seen it, first up, if you've ever been to a psychologist, but also if you've seen the movies, they're always asking you about your childhood. And so we wanted to get to the bottom of it by picking the brain of Maris Deepers and finding out, well, why is it all important to actually know about one's childhood? What insight do they get?
I probably snuck a few too many lollies as a kid. I probably had a bit too much chocolate and stuff.
I don't think that's exactly what they're kind of cluing on. But good morning to you, Maris.
Good morning, Aaron and Erin. Everyone in Hopeland, young, old, and in the middle.
All right. We feel welcomed and greeted by you, Maris.
Maris, help us out here. I mean, it's the kind of age old, tell me about your childhood. But, like, why is it? Why are you guys so obsessed with our childhood?
Well, I guess, firstly, I'd like to kind of just speak into the perceived obsession with childhood. And actually, so when it comes to the exploration of things that happen early on in life, it is true that there has been a lot of emphasis placed on that previously in psychology and in psychiatry. And I think that's had a lot to do with this perception in the community that's some of the first questions that people get asked, because this was influenced by the work of Sigmund Freud kind of at the turn of the century and some really early ideas of psychoanalysis and psychotherapy. And so they're the things that you actually see portrayed a lot in American TV shows, American movies like Analyze This and That, Therapist at the Couch and things like that. And Freud had a lot of ideas about the first 5 years and some of the conflicts which were kind of born and played themselves out in those first 5 years when it came to issues with mothers and things like that. So there's another kind of pop psychology kind of, jokiness around, always there being an issue with the mother and stuff like that. So that's often the sort of things that are portrayed in movies. And actually, I think that actually does actually inform this a little bit in a way which can be a little bit misleading, because it's not always the first thing we go for. The things that happen in childhood are actually really, really important, particularly those first 5 years. They're finding now in research that in the first 5 years of life we develop a number of really, really key things, two of which are our primary attachment style, so the way that we actually view and understand ourselves in relationship to others, whether it be significant caregivers or whether it be initially it's our relationship to significant caregivers like parents and their relationship with each other, but then that then informs most of our other human relationships after that. So some of the attachment styles that we actually get in those early stages of life, and they say that they're actually developed before the age of three, actually can and do for a lot of people inform how they are and how they relate to others for the rest of their life. So some of that's pretty key.
Wow.
That does sound, and also, my goodness, I feel the pressure as a parent with that.
It's an interesting thing, and having shared the news a couple of weeks ago, it's something that I've been more and more aware of now as well, that the crucialness of those first kind of 5 years in particular. The other thing that we get, and it is closely related to those attachment styles and those how we relate to others, is actually some really deeply held beliefs about ourselves, which are called self-schemas, and so they're how we understand ourselves in the world, and that's what often is at the core and the base of people's self-worth and some of those self-esteem issues and confidence issues that can come up later in life. Again, they're formed in the first 4 or 5 years of life, and often they're actually the gift of experience. So they're not consciously chosen or learnt by people. These are the gifts of their experience of relating with others and the things that they encounter in those early years.
Wow. Do most people remember, though, their first 5 years, or is this all kind of just played out kind of in the subconscious and all that kind of stuff?
Generally, memory lapses from, as most people's experiences are, memory does become something that's very difficult in the very, very early stages of life. But often, if there's been big issues in families or or big things have happened, experiences of trauma and things like that, that often changes the nature of memory, and so these things are more likely to be remembered. And even if the actual memory of the experience isn't there, it's often something that in a family has been talked about. So it's not just something that happens and then it's left. It's that this is something that through the whole family gets reflected on. It's brought up. It resonates through family functions and things like that throughout life. I guess the other reason why this is all really, really important stuff is because at such early ages in our life, our brains are geared towards connecting, making associations and learning about the world. And what we do at around the same time, if you think about learning back, and if you've got kids, you'll understand that around the age of kind of between 3 and 5 years, we're actually starting to get some pretty important building blocks. So we learn the meaning and the use of numbers. We learn the meaning and the use of alphabet and letters and things like that. And it's with those building blocks that we actually build everything that comes from that.
Mm.
So everything you learn at school then gets built on those really, really simple learning blocks, the functions of certain numerical numbers and symbols, and then what addition means and all of those sort of things. We actually get quite early in life, and then we just build upon that base knowledge. And so that's where actually for a lot of people, some of these things like attachment styles and their self-schemas and things like that, while they are quite early, they're gifted quite early on in life, these then inform a lot of other things throughout their life and can be quite prominent for people that later in life develop things like depression and anxiety and then the associated, you know, issues that come with those as well. So that's kind of why we would explore that. But having said that, it's not often the first thing we do, and all psychologists now are about, you know, really getting an understanding of the nature of what's happening presently, what the impact of that is, and then from a very present place, what can we actually do to work towards making that different? Because it's now that we can change these things.
Slightly, well, on topic, but slightly off, you mentioned kind of asking about those formative years from 1 to 5. But what about 7? I was watching the ABC Life At series where they kind of do life at 2, life at 4. But they were saying how, like, know a child at the age 7 and you can tell what they're going to be like for life. Is that a fair statement?
That's quite a popular sentiment. I think by 7, a number of things are quite fixed, and so some of those attachment styles are quite fixed. Some of those personality traits can be quite determined and fixed by 7, and then as I kind of alluded to before, then once those things are there, they often become the governing force, and then we just build from that place.
Right.
I guess what I would say is taking a little bit of a step away from that, you know, some things can be quite fixed, but at the same time, even attachment styles, even though we have a primary attachment style that governs a lot of our relationships and actually can eventually govern who we are as parents as well, so the next generation can then be informed by our early childhood experiences. Some of those, with the right amount of work, with the right amount of understanding and things like that, can be managed and can be altered. So none of this is beyond the ability to change.
Wow. That's also very fascinating.
Very much so. Maris, thank you so much.
To all the children out there, enjoy your lives.
That's a... You know, that's...
And the child within.
And the child within, of course.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.